Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 17th day. Right now, it's 16th. The 16th, right?
Yeah.
How do I know?
Because it's your anniversary.
That's right, the 55th anniversary, huh?
Yes.
All right, there you go. You see, that's Lisa. Now, way back there.
Good evening, everyone.
No, you just stay there. Don't go yet. Way back in the phone booth, we have Pastor's Mighty Men back there. Who's back there? Nah, it's Frank and Randy. They're ready to go. They're setting there. Normally, we have more people, but what happens when there's too big a lull when the phones, when they're not ringing, is traumatizing. It's traumatizing for these guys, so. We only got two left back there tonight. I hope they don't get traumatized. I hope those lines are ringing, those phones are ringing. And then in the glass cage here behind us tonight, we have, well, they both want to do the program. Both of them, we got Kenny and Style, so they get to share. So we put them in there together, they get to share the program because, you know, they consider it a privilege to be here, right?
Absolutely.
There you go. But now, there's something very important today. And I better tell way back yonder, out there, way out there, the legendary folk pastor, Parson Joe Larson. Hey, Joe.
It looks like I'm in the right place with this crazy bunch. So.
Yeah, you are. Listen, you know, today's a very special day, don't you know? Not only is it my birthday, it's the day before Jimmy the Greek's birthday. Jimmy the Greek's birthday, right?
Yes.
That's
the
right.
The day before, and it's yours today.
That's your anniversary.
No, today's my anniversary, 55 years.
Your anniversary, okay, and Jimmy's birthday, okay.
Yeah. See, 55 years of wedding bliss, it was. It was 54 for my wife and one for me. No, only kidding. No, I knew I could get away with that because she's sleeping. I know that, see? When maybe I shouldn't have done that because somebody's liable to tell her when she wakes up, right? Okay. Well, I wanted to say this because it's Jimmy the Greek's birthday, and his real name's not, his last name's not Greek, but nobody can pronounce his real last name, so we just call him the Greek. And today, here, finally, they threw a birthday party for him here at the station. But unfortunately, everybody forgot to invite him. So Jimmy missed it. But don't worry, Jimmy. There'll be others. And to make up for that, Lisa's going to sing you happy birthday. So go ahead, Lisa, sing happy birthday. Go on.
Okay. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jimmy. Happy birthday to you.
Boy, that was a killer.
Oh, gosh, that was bad.
That was a killer. Well, a star is born. Or something happened here just now.
Oh, gosh.
Alrighty. Okay, listen, Joe, we got a lot to do, so we better get to it. Hey, you know, this is the fourth night of Pledge Week.
Pledge Week.
All right, so, folks, we're going to give you the numbers, and we're waiting. Don't let the guys be traumatized. Let them watch the lights light up there. It's 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110. Or 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. The fellows are eagerly waiting. They're eagerly waiting. They want to see that. I think I saw a flicker. All right. It looks like the line was ready to light. Could it be? Anyhow, Joe, we got to get to the most important part of the program, right?
The Lord's Word.
All righty.
The title is Making Your Salvation Sure.
And do you think that's kind of an important thing?
A very important, probably one of the most important things we could be talking about, preaching.
I think it is the most
it
important.
It is, the, yes.
Okay. So we're going to start in Romans chapter 11 and go ahead, Joe, and read verses 1 through 3 and pause.
I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not that the scripture saith of Elijah, how he maketh intercessions to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life.
Okay, so Paul says here that he says, I say that hath God cast away his people? God forbid. Why would he say that? Why would he say that? Because,
well, because God said that he would, you know, that they would be his bride, they would be forever his people.
No, but why would people think that God had cast them away? There was,
because they were under judgment, and he wasn't real happy with them, and there were some bad times. There was only a remnant left.
All right, so you've heard of replacement theology?
Yes.
So replacement theology, that's taught by, in fact, it's taught by a number of your Presbyterians and some of the Protestant denominations that that the church has replaced Israel, that God is finished with Israel. But there's a real big problem with that, isn't there?
A very big problem, because it hasn't replaced the bride of Christ. The church is, but Israel was, he was his first love, and he will restore Israel.
Well, could Israel be replaced if all the prophecies concerning Israel have not yet been fulfilled?
Very true. Everything would have to be fulfilled first.
Okay, so now Paul refers to himself here in verse 1 as an Israelite, and then if we go over to Philippians 3:5, he refers to himself as a Hebrew. Then in Acts 21, verse 39, he refers to himself as a Jew. Is he trying to make a point?
He's making several points, really, right?
Yeah. All right. So now he says, God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Uh-oh. What's foreknew? What does that mean? He foreknew them.
He knew every person that would ever live, every person that would ever be born before he ever started creation.
Well, this word in the Greek actually means pre-planned.
Pre-planned.
The
well,
people which
know.
He had pre-planned.
So known and pre-planned are pretty much in God's mind the same thing, aren't they?
Yeah, I would say.
Planned it. It was going to work exactly the way he planned it.
Lord, they have killed the prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. Now, remember who said that? Elijah, huh?
Right.
Now,
But he wasn't right, was he?
No. Okay, so, well, no, he wasn't right. There was, the Lord said he kept 7,000 aside, besides that. So let's pick it up in verse, read verses 4 through 7.
But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work.
All right. And so here now, verse 7, and then, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Who's the election?
Christ was the election.
Well, no, what the election is the church. What did we obtain that Israel did not obtain?
Well, we became the church, the bride of Christ, the living church.
Okay, well, do you think maybe eternal life would be what they're talking about there? All right, let's read verse.
Yes, because when you become a child of the kingdom, you are an heir to everlasting life.
Okay, verse 8, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear to this day. So here, what is he talking about? He's talking about the fact that because Israel had refused to see and refused to hear the revelation of God, so because of that, they were given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. Jesus said, behold, the kingdom of heaven is here today. And what, did they receive him or did they reject him?
They rejected him.
Okay, so here now, he goes on to say, and David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block, a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back away. So why would David say that? Did David hate his own people? What was David doing here?
Well, he was saying there was going to be some judgment for behavior, and that they would not be able to, there are certain things they would not be able to do or see or know.
Okay, so David was saying in a precatory prayer, and he was asking God to do whatever means it took to bring them to repentance, huh?
Right. But if they wouldn't repent, whatever they had to do. But it's funny, Israel would repent but go back to its same ways time and time again.
Okay, so God would bless them, and they would have peace and abundance, but they would very quickly forget where the blessings came from,
and they'd go back to thinking they did it all themselves and they didn't need God, and then they would be brought into judgment. And
they would turn away from God's laws, wouldn't they?
God, right.
And so here, now, is there a difference between the seed of Abraham and the children of Abraham?
Definitely. There's the physical children, there's the seed, those that are spiritual children, that faithful and followers of their father Abraham.
Okay, so Jesus said you're the seed, but you're not the children.
Children, right.
And so that means that they're not going to get saved. They're not true Jews. Jesus said that those that say they are Jews but are not, they're literally of the synagogue of Satan. So he said to the Pharisees and to those leaders, the Jewish leaders, that you don't know me because you don't know my father, because we don't have the same father, but you are of your father, the devil, huh?
Exactly. He made that quite clear to them, and they got angry instead of listening and repenting, they doubled down and had him crucified.
He goes on in verse 11 to say, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? So what is he talking about? He's talking about there the setting aside of Israel's only until when? To the fullness of the Gentiles is brought in, is completed, is it not?
Right, till the end of the sixth dispensation period, the end of the church age.
So when will Israel, there's a specific time that they're going to be saved?
It'll be after the tribulation, right at the very end when Christ returns.
And so, well, actually, it'll be during the tribulation.
Well, during, but
during,
right,
the tribulation.
I mean, it kind of comes at the end of the period.
And so then you're going to be talking about the children of Abraham, the true Jews. And that's going to be just one-third of all of the seed of Abraham, isn't it?
That's what God says, which means that's the way it's going to happen, exactly how he claims it will.
Okay, so now, have you noticed that there seems to be growing anti-Semitism out there in this world today?
Oh, boy, is there. I mean, it is all over the world, spreading like a wildfire across this country through the through ignorance, through biblical ignorance, through historical ignorance. And it's guided by that emotionalism that communism always brings forth, the hatred, the division, whether it's young versus old, male versus female, black versus white, rich versus poor. The old adage is always divide and conquer. Get the people fighting among themselves, right?
Right. I've
and
got
hating
it.
One another.
All righty, we've got a break here because we finally got our first call for tonight. This is Anonymous in Cleveland pledges $25.
Thank you, Anonymous, and we need a lot more of those.
I'm looking back there. The fellows are just about traumatized. The phone lines better start ringing. Okay. Again, 888-281-1110, folks, 888-281-1110, or 888-677-9673. This is Pledge Week. This is very important. If we don't hear from you, well, like a number of those stations out there that we started out with at the beginning of the year, six of them, they're not hearing from us now, folks, because we weren't hearing from them. And this is why it's so very important that we hear from you tonight, so that you can continue. Remember, what we're talking about right here now, God's Word, this is the most important thing. And in all of these years, our emphasis has always been on the three missions. And folks, in 50 years, we've never, not one time compromised. So we've been out there, and over those 50 years, hundreds and hundreds of times, people have called us for help in all different kinds of things. When they were being persecuted, there were corrupt government officials coming after them. And we always stood. Whenever there was a legitimate call, we never backed down. We always went to their aid. And sometimes just by calling them, just by this radio ministry calling corrupt officials, they backed off because they didn't want the story getting out. But we won't be able to do that if we're not here. And that's why we got to hear from you at 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Going back to the scripture, he says this, for I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead?
Dead, right.
Okay.
So, to become part of that living body, the church is a living body of what? Lively stones, living stones that builds a living church that worships a living, risen Lord. And he's saving them from death by rejecting God, by accepting Christ. You are born again into what? Life everlasting.
Okay, so if we go back and we read in the Old Testament, especially, the reconciling of Israel back to God, is that associated with the resurrection of Israel as a nation?
Yes, it's come together because they've been scattered around the world, and they had to come together before they can be reconciled.
Is that talk about the dry bones over there in Ezekiel 37?
Yep, the dry bones coming to life, being brought back to the land of the living.
So is it specific to all of those Jews who died in the faith?
Right. Those that were the chosen ones, the election, I guess. Those were the believing the Israelites, the believing ones.
For if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and now being a wild olive tree, we're grafted in among them. A warning's coming up here.
Yeah.
And when thou partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root hear thee.
Yeah.
So
the root is the key. Without the root, the branch is nothing, right?
Right. So is he saying, remember that you do not support? Is he referring to actually supporting the nation of Israel?
Well, could be a couple of things. The Gentiles were adopted into the family of God by spiritual adoption, but at the same time, they would be grafted on then to the root, you know, grafted onto the tree of life there in a way. So there's a couple different meanings, right?
Well, I think it's here, if we read this, that will say
then trees, you know, if you graft on the fruit, you can graft on wild and tame and mix, right?
Well, let me say this. He says, that will say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off.
Right.
And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee.
So right. We got grafted on because the branches, the branches were the Jews that didn't accept Christ, and we were grafted in their place.
So do you think that's the message that Paul is having for even the replacement theology of his day, and that goes for the replacement theology today?
Well, in a way, it's a different kind of thing than they were talking about with replacement theology, isn't it?
No, that's what it's the same thing. He says, for if God spared, remember, replacement theology is saying, we are the new Israel, okay? Israel has rejected God. We are the new Israel.
Right.
Now, out of that replacement theology, today, out of the World and National Council of Churches, especially the Apostate Church, the Episcopal, United Church of the Antichrist, and these, you find a lot of anti-Semitism, and what do they believe? God has replaced them with us, but yet...
Well, totally, yeah. But this is individually we were replaced, but I don't think he's talking about the forever, because at the end of the tribulation, he's coming back to reclaim Israel as his.
Yeah, I know that, but what they're trying to say here, this is, again, a replacement theology, is now, we are now Israel. We.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
We are not Israel. We are the church, the Christian church, but we are not Israel.
Okay. And they also...
Remember, because he said, we are still adopted sons and daughters of God.
Okay. Here. When he says, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off.
Right.
Now, severity is a subject that is studiously avoided by most modern scholars who prefer to believe in a God who will take everyone to heaven. Is God going to take everyone to heaven?
Totally of love. But he has judgment and justice, and he must punish sin.
So, did Jesus say the majority of people were going to heaven, or did he say it's going to be a minority?
A minority, a small minority, a remnant.
Okay, he uses the word few there. Few. Let me ask you this: if you have one apple, it's a single apple, right?
Right.
What if you have two apples? What do you call them?
Pair.
Well, a pair or a couple of apples, right?
Couples, okay.
But if you have three, what do you call it?
Several.
Well, a few. Few.
Few.
The word three.
Right.
Few.
Right.
Few. Now, so the Bible says that a third part of Israel is going to be saved. In other words, Jesus said only few will enter. Only a few will enter, huh?
Right. That is not a big amount.
So when he used that, also when he was speaking of the church, was he saying, look, just like with Israel, you're going to have a third part? Is he telling us that we can suspect it's going to be the same with the church?
Yes, because there are many out there who claim salvation who aren't saved. They didn't really repent. They didn't turn from their wicked ways. They continued. They just said words, but it wasn't a heartfelt repentance. So,
oh boy, we just went over. We went over the break. Let's go to the break. We'll be back right after this.
Read his words, heed his signs. Can't you see these are the times? Earthquakes, famines, and pestilence are all on the rise. The love of man is waxing cold, just like the way that he foretold. With all these things now happening before our eyes, can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings? Rid up your minds to be believing. Prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. When he comes in the sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings. Rid up your minds to be believing. Prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Savior and Deliverer.
the Messiah, Jesus Christ, El Shaddai, Yahshua, hallelujah. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning? Rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings. Gird up your minds to be believing. Prepare your hearts to be receiving. Listen to be returning Lord of lords and King of kings and Lord of lords and King of kings and Lord of lords and King of kings.
All righty, we're back. All right, we want to say, look, oh, Deacon Mark pledges 100. Thank you. Craig in Illinois pledges 50, and Susan in Illinois pledges 500. Thank you. We've got to get some pledges. We really do. Susan, you really made the day for the fellows in the back. Things was looking dark for them, boy. They looked like they could have been falling into depression. But, Susan, you came through with that 500.
We need a few hundred people to start calling in with those $20, $25 pledges and just keep those guys so busy they can't see straight. We've got enough listeners to do it. I'd like to see it happen. It would be wonderful change because too many people listen but don't support the ministry. And remember, your donations are not enriching anyone in the ministry. Pastor Ernie has never taken a dime in the 50 years he's been on radio. No one with him has ever taken any money. We all donate our own time, our own talent, our own treasure to do this work. And it's a true partnership. Your donations allow us to pay the radio time, to pay the bills that keeps this program on the air. And every station has to be able at some point to be self-supporting. There has to be enough donors out of that radio station to pay the airtime bills. And then we have a good, solid station to work with.
Yeah, that's what I say. All righty.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yep.
We ought to keep it that way.
888-281-1110. Let's keep them rolling. 888-677-9673. Look, we got a whole lot of articles we want to get through tonight. And so one of them I wanted to start out with, and that is voter fraud. Let me just say this. There's a coalition of people across this country, and I'm talking about folks that are in the know, people that know a whole lot about elections. They know how elections are run. They know how elections are won. They know how they're rigged. And they're all coming together now, and we're working. And in the future, Lord's willing, we're going to take some very close looks into a lot of what's happening, because right now the strategy is going to be the main focus between now and the election in 2024 is exposing the corruption. Just what would imagine if we actually had fair elections, legitimate elections across this land? How many states do you think would all turn red, Joe?
A great many of them, and we'd have a lot of them in tears. They would be crying.
If we were to have have
an emotional breakdown.
If we were to have a fair election, Donald Trump right now is out there. His approval rating is
in the United States.
It's in the 60%. If we were to have a fair election, what percentage? How many states do you think Donald Trump would win? I think he would even win California.
I don't know. I'd go that far, but he.
No, I think he would. Listen,
majority.
There's a whole lot of good patriots in California, but what the problem is, the Deathocrats, the Democrats, the communists, they've gotten themselves, they're parasitical. They work
right.
They've gotten themselves the majority in the state house, but the majority of the people are not communist. The majority
no,
of the people
not. But
are,
they've got the motor voter laws, and they've got, you know, like most states, the corruption.
On a major, major scale, huh? But I really believe if you had fair elections in California, I think they would turn red, okay? I really do. I think you've got a scenario much like when Ronald Reagan ran for governor there. And when he ran for president. I really believe that. And so we're looking at, here, let me give you an example. How do you explain this? Video shows that 386,151 votes were removed from the GOP Supreme Court candidates' totals in Pennsylvania. Now, in Pennsylvania, you know how corrupt the government is in Pennsylvania. You know, there's competition of who could be the most corrupt between the communists and the raunchy rhinos. You have so many rhinos within the Republican Party out there. It is pathetic. But anyhow, audit, the vote in Pennsylvania released an explosive video following the November 7th, 2023 Pennsylvania Supreme Court election that has so far been largely ignored. We hope to change that today. Thanks to Behizzi for posting this on the popular Twitter X account. Audit the vote PA posted into recently that shows that 386,151 in-person votes were removed from the Pennsylvania Republican Supreme Court candidate Carolyn Carluccio on election night. Republican Carluccio ended up losing the race by 207,237 votes, but no one has given any explanation as to how votes just go down in a crucial election like this. How do you explain this is the question. Well, we know how do we explain it.
Yeah, but nobody wants to. They just, what they do, the Democrats just ignore it and figure, given enough time, it goes away because their Justice Department, their Attorney General won't go after it. Their legislative body won't do an investigation. So if they just keep quiet, it sooner or later just passes into history.
All righty. Liz in Connecticut pledges 125. Thank you, Liz. Can we get some pledges? Can we have some $500 matches from Susan? Can we have some $125 matches from Liz, folks? We need a few $500 pledges from Susan in Illinois. All right, so here again, this is why we're working, Joe. It's coming together. They're really going to be going after them, and I mean really going after and exposing the election fraud. It is... you know, people are so fed up. They're so fed up with election fraud. Things, it's like, it's in your face. Here's how stupid we think you people are. We think you're so stupid that when President Trump is drawing crowds of 60, 70,000 people out there, where you have Trump trains, 90-mile-long Trump train in Arizona, and then Joe Biden is turning out 11 or 12 people, and... we think that you people are so stupid that, well, that you're going to believe us and not your lying eyes, right?
Exactly.
But listen, are the people stupid? Are the people getting angry? Are the people right now getting angrier and angrier, Joe, about being treated as second-class citizens? I mean, are they getting angry, Joe?
They're getting angry when the veterans were removed from where they were living and were replaced by illegal aliens. And when we have all kinds of problems with our own people, we're spending billions on educating, health care, housing. We're renting out very expensive hotels and paying top dollar to house illegals when our own people, many of them, are homeless. Some of them not because they've done anything wrong. It's just housing costs and living went far beyond what they could make working, and they end up living out of their vehicle or a van or a little trailer. And yet we're spending all this money helping people who broke the law to come here, many of them who came here with intentions to do this country great harm.
Well, I mean, look at
a lot of anger.
Look at Mariakas. Wasn't he promising these people, look, you guys, you drug dealers, you human traffickers, you Communist Party, you terrorists, come to America. Look, if you want us to take and share the property and the wealth of the hardworking people, people that earned their property, earned their wealth, we'll be gladly to transfer that to you if you'll just go and vote communist. If you'll go vote communist.
That's indirectly saying, right? I mean, in a sense, that's what the word has gotten out to the people all over the
world.
It's
not so indirect, Joe. When they give them a cell phone, they give them a name and a number on that phone, and they're automatically, they get a ballot registered to vote. So here you go. Michigan judge dismisses attempt to block Trump from 2024 state ballot. In a significant legal development, a Michigan judge on Tuesday dismissed a challenge aimed at preventing former President Donald Trump. He's not a former president. He is still the legitimate president. So, and preventing legitimate President Donald Trump from appearing on the state's ballot for the 2024 election. The ruling came as a response to lawsuits filed by a group of communists in September. Critics argued that Trump's last actions in trying to overturn the 2020 election result and his role. In other words, Trump had the audacity to say, look, why can't we have a fair election? Why can't we actually go by whoever got the most votes? Why do you have to always rig it? Why can't the Democrats ever do anything decently, okay? So the 14th Amendment argument of plaintiffs present a political question that is, see, what these communists do, these communists there in Michigan, and that's what they are. They're communists to the bone, and it's like this is the thing that takes place in third world countries, in Venezuela. This is what happens out there. Why? Because you've got communists. These people, you know, don't call them Democrats. Call them what they are. They're communists, and they're anti-Christ, and they're treasonous, and they're anti-American. The 14th Amendment argument of plaintiff present a political question that is non-justiciable at the present time, Judge James Robert Redford noted in his ruling. So Judge Redford also stated that under Michigan law, Democratic Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson lacks the authority to interfere in a primary election. When did that ever bother a Democrat, whether or not they had the authority?
Yeah, they don't need the authority. They just do things. They violate the Constitution. Look at our government has been violating free speech, been violating all kinds of constitutional issues, been violating Supreme Court orders without the Justice Department taking anybody to court or charging anybody. There's no penalty for disobedience.
All right, here, Joe.
As long as we have a crooked, you know, government, they're not going to go after themselves, right?
Well, that's the whole point. That's why Mariokas. How many times have you seen Mariokas out there lie under oath before Congress? Alejandro Mariokas. Every single time I've seen him give testimony, he sat there and lied. Every single time. He sat there and said, the border is secure. The border is secure. With 7 million people crossing that border, he sits there because that's what his boss told him to say. You get there, and you sit there like a fool and just lie through your teeth, Mariokas. Don't worry about it. You can lie to Congress because they don't have a Justice Department. The Justice Department is in the bag. There is no legitimate Justice Department. Their job out there is to make sure that Trump doesn't get into office, because if he does, then he's going to bring all of the corruption and all of us thieves in government, and that's what they are, whether it's in the so-called Justice Department, the FBI, we're all going to go down if Trump gets in there. And so we've got to make sure that there's no justice. There's no justice at all for the American people. Only for the Communist Party. And that's what's happening.
Back that up. Headlines tonight. Biden not expected to face criminal charges for mishandling classified documents after 11-month investigation that included interviews with son Hunter and hundreds of aides. I mean, we know that they lied about when they knew about all these documents. They lied to Congress about that. It was at least a year earlier and so many months. And so all of a sudden now there's been a quick investigation by a special prosecutor. He's decided that there's nothing there that's important enough to charge the president with. And yet he had these documents in an unsecured garage and boxes. He had them in two different offices that weren't secured. They weren't guarded. And yet Donald Trump had them locked up in a security room with Secret Service agents guarding the house and the property. So they were guarding the documents. And they're trying to get him for major crimes.
Listen to this, Joe.
All the crimes and gets no charges whatsoever.
Listen to this, Joe. Trump was president, okay? The president has the authority to declassify whatever he wants.
Wants to.
The president has the authority to decide how long he keeps these documents and when he turns them over to the museum or to wherever.
The National Archives. Right?
National Archives.
He's got the authority. Biden was VP and had zero, zilch, nada, no authority to have those documents, handle them, or anything else.
So what he did with what Biden did was totally unlawful, illegal, right?
Exactly.
But we do not have a legitimate, the so-called Justice Department is as illegitimate can be. Now,
can be.
Yeah.
Therefore, what they do is not going to be binding in a future presidency because it'll be proven that was breaking the Constitution.
Now, Mariokas, we told you, we've seen him lie. He sat there and he's lied. In fact, I have a picture of him sitting right now before Congress lying. He's lying before Congress under oath, right? And do you know what? There was a vote to impeach him, to remove him, Joe. But what is one thing that's even more disgusting than the communists and the Democrats? It's raunchy rhinos, Joe, raunchy rhinos. And they would have voted. They would have removed him. But eight raunchy rhinos, I don't know what they got paid. I don't know what they charged, what they got. But I think we should give them recognition for betraying the American people. Again,
they should be voted out of office, especially. That would be the least we should do to them, but that's the best option so far.
So you folks out there, listen, and you're in North Carolina, raunchy rhino Patrick McHenry. In California, raunchy rhino Tom McClintock. Didn't do what they knew. They did not do the right thing. Here you've got a guy that they know sat there day by day and lied before Congress, and their job, to do their job for the American people, was to remove him. But, well, sometimes, you know, Solomon said money answereth all things. Virginia, from North Carolina, Virginia Fox, raunchy rhino. From California.
Either money or somebody has something on them that they're blackmailing them with to get their votes. One or the other.
From California, Daryl Issa. From Oregon, Cliff Benz. From Colorado, Ken Buck. And from Ohio, Mike Turner. And from California, John Durante. There you go, folks. These were your raunchy rhinos.
Yeah.
And so,
I've got some good news real quick. Iran came out and made a public statement that since Hamas did not give advance notice of the October 7 terrorist attacks, that they will not join in the fight against Israel. And this was reported first by Reuters and found on the Daily Caller and several other places, been validated. The Supreme Leader, Ali Khamenei, told the Hamas head last month that although Iran would continue to offer moral support, it will not get directly involved in the fight. And So they're going to sit back, and I think what they've seen is just enough Israel, how powerful their counteroffensive has been, how horrific the destruction on Gaza, and I think they decided that may not be the right time to jump in. I think they were looking for weakness, for an opening, maybe to...
Is that what you think, Joe? Is that what you think? No, what I think, Joe, my question is, how much is this going to cost the American taxpayer? That's what I think. How much is this going to cost for Iran not to get... Well, maybe we'll find out when we're going to a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to find out how the taxpayers here in America, how you keep funding the enemy. How you keep... Yeah. You got to make sure, if you're going to have a war, your enemy can't run out of ammunition, so... So that's what we're going to take a look at when we come back from this break here. But meanwhile, folks, 888, boy, oh boy, oh boy, the phones have not been ringing. Oh, wait a minute. Dan in Massachusetts pledges 25.
Thank you, Dan.
888-281-1110. Come on, folks, you got to hurry. We don't want Frank and Randy there to be traumatized again, okay? 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. We're coming up, you know, if you don't start calling in, I'm never going to let Lisa sing again on the radio here. Right? Do you hear me? All right. Canada expands assisted suicide laws to allow for, we covered this about 2 weeks ago, to allow for killing of more infants for profit. In other words, there's bigger money to be made now. You can kill off babies after they're born, and you can make more money, Joe, than killing them by abortion. And yeah. So Canadian Louis Roy, they have the word doctor, I won't put doctor, is leading the charge to allow more and more toddlers in Canada to be murdered through euthanasia, boasting the world's largest, what they call assisted suicide. I call it murder. I call it murdering little children. I call it...
An infant cannot help kill itself. You know, when they say assisted suicide, with an innocent person that can't control themselves, I just love the way they throw words around.
Canada is now a safe haven for the lowest form of human life. These murderers, child killers... The lowest form of human life there in Canada. From now on,
close to China,
infants deemed too sickly to live can be signed up and killed in Canada, even though critics argue that the young child is not old enough to make this kind of decision. We're coming up to a break. When we come back from the break, we'll find out maybe how you taxpayers, how you continue to fund your enemies out there. So... We'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away. More to come, Joe.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
Long time no see.
No can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.